God's grace, His mercy, and His peace are yours from God our Father, through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, by the power of His Holy Spirit. Amen. We are in trouble. Help, come and save us. Goes out the cry. And sure enough, the hero comes forth and saves them. That's the basic plot of an awfully lot of movies and television shows and books and comic books. Whether it's Superman or Gandalf the Grey or the Avengers or the Lone Ranger or Roy Rogers or Gene Autry, yeah, I'm dating myself. Even the hobbits, Frodo Baggins and Samwise Gamgee, heroes fascinate us. We love our heroes, even fictional ones. In real life, in history, very often, in especially the history of God's people, the Lord has raised up someone to deliver His people. We think of the book of Judges in the Old Testament. You know those stories, Samson, Jehu, Deborah. Time after time, the people of God wander. God allows them to be persecuted by others. The people repent and cry out for help and deliverance. And God sends someone to get them out of the jam they've gotten themselves into. In Christian history, we can think of times when God did the same. St. Augustine, St. Francis, John and Charles Wesley were all people that God used at a particular fullness of time moment to call the church back to Himself. In no person is this more dramatic, I would think, than in the life and work of Martin Luther. He stood before authorities of church and empire and boldly proclaimed the truth of the Bible. Some have called him fearless. But from everything I know about him, what I've read of his work and others, he wasn't all that fearless. He was terrified. He was scared to death when he had to stand before authorities to be examined about what he was teaching and writing. It changed the history of the Western world. But that wasn't his intention. That wasn't why he was doing it. He stood as he did and spoke as he did out of a conviction of the truth of God's word. He refused to deny it. He refused to recant it, no matter what the cost. God raised up just the right person at just the right time in history. Something very much like that is happening in today's Old Testament text. God's people were in bad shape. You know the name Daniel. You probably know several of the stories connected with him. He was one of those Jews carried off to Babylon after the fall of Jerusalem. Actually, there were several falls of Jerusalem, but we think this was the first one. He was an exile, captive 1,000 miles from home. He interpreted the dreams of the king and became a king's advisor. His friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, got themselves thrown into a fiery furnace because they would not bow down to a false idol. Daniel himself was thrown into a den of hungry lions because he prayed to the true God openly every day. All that happened in the first six chapters of Daniel's book. The last six chapters are prophecy about the battles that God and his people would fight. Some of those prophecies took place in the decade and centuries following the time of Daniel. Others were more long-term. Our text for today is the beginning of the last chapter of Daniel's book. There shall be a time of trouble such as never has been since there was a nation till that time. Daniel is describing a time of struggle that the children of God will have in a world which hates God's message and hates God's messengers. He's describing a troubling time between Jesus' first coming and his second coming. That's a time we call the end times. It's been a while. Everything before the time of Jesus was preparation. Jesus came in fulfillment of God's law, in fulfillment of God's promises. To fulfill those promises, Jesus came, took on a human body, carried our sins in that body, and paid the price of our redemption on the cross. As we commemorate every Sunday, every day on our altar with a crucifix. But of course, he didn't stay dead. He rose again for our justification, as St. Paul says, and because of all that he did for us and the faith the Holy Spirit has given us in that truth, we will live with him forever. Some people think we are in the last generation before the Lord returns. Every generation has thought they were in the last generation because it seems as though the world can't get any worse than it has now become. Yet the world continues to get further and further away from God's word, his truth, and his Christ. Look anywhere. Listen to the radio. Pop in a CD. Look at television, internet, movies, novels, and wonder, where has the love for God gone? Where is the concern for the neighbor? Are we pilgrims in an unwelcoming and unholy land? Not unusual, not impossible to answer that question with a yes. St. Paul, you remember, wrote in Romans chapter 8 about the creation groaning, waiting for the deliverance that God would send. And how much more so, almost 2,000 years later. And if we believe what the text for today says, we have to say, it's going to get worse. Jesus echoed Daniel's words in Matthew chapter 24, when he said, "For then there will be great tribulation, such as has not been since the beginning of the world till now, no, and never will be. And if those days had not been cut short, no human being would have been saved. But for the sake of the elect, those days will be cut short." As in previous generations, we can say our own days seem to fit into this pattern. As we see ever more profound departures from God's word and his truth. So given that, we might respond, then how are we supposed to get through this mess called life? Once again, God's word does not leave us to despair. Once again, the text shows us God gives Daniel an answer. It was an answer that was good then, and it's just as good now. There is more here than prophecy of doom. There is promise of deliverance. Our text begins. At that time shall arise Michael, the great prince who has charge of your people. Michael, of all of the archangels in God's creation, is the only one whose name is known to us. He is specifically named in the Bible. And in the midst of things could not get any worse troubles in our world, our Lord, our Emmanuel, gives us the promise. I am Emmanuel. I am with you. I am in the midst of my people. I am here to save. He faithfully calls us to be faithful because a final reckoning is surely coming, and that will be God's time of ultimate and final deliverance. In today's gospel reading, Jesus tells us that we are not to be alarmed when we see terrible things happening. These are but the beginning of the birth pains. And any of you ladies who have delivered a child know what a painful and sometimes even terrifying thing that can be. Something we men only have the vaguest notion of. But it's the beginning of something really good. It's the beginning of adding to your family. It's the beginning of another human being entering our world. That's what's happening, Jesus says. It's something good about to happen. It's the beginning of the birth pangs. He also says at the end of our reading today, the gospel reading, the one who endures to the end will be saved. And so that's the entire emphasis as we get to the end of the church year. We're one Sunday away from the end of the church year. It's a word of encouragement to hang in there. God has not forgotten his people. There will be an accounting. Or as St. Peter says, don't let anybody tell you the Lord's not going to follow through on what he said, because God does not count slowness the way we do. With God, a day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as a day. And as I heard somebody say in a sermon once, figured that way, Jesus was born the day before yesterday in God's time. Our text goes on to say, but at that time your people shall be delivered, everyone whose name is found written in the book. Daniel, in writing this, is looking forward to that time that St. Paul describes to the church of Thessalonica. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the sound of the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will arise first. In the midst of a world gone mad, Jesus, God, reminds us that he will come. He will deliver us, even as he has already delivered us in Jesus. And we live in that already, not yet moment in the history of the world. When he comes, we will see that through our faith in Jesus, even as we struggle with this faith, we belong to the people of God. We are children of the Heavenly Father. And through Jesus, through his work, we will be saved. The judgment will commence. All will be gathered before the throne, and the Lord will separate those who are elect from those who have rejected his love and mercy. Now, Jesus is no masked marvel or secret superhero. Although he once came in the flesh, where his Godhead was visible only by faith, he did not cover up his identity. He revealed it. As a true man of humility who bleeds as we do, who bled for us, he showed us who he was and how he is. He showed us the greatness of God's love for sinners. He is in our midst even now, in water and word, in bread and wine, in word and proclamation. He is truly present, not covering up his identity, not pretending to be something or someone he's not, but showing us God's love made flesh. Showing us God's love, invincible, unstoppable, miraculous, solving our deepest problems, our deepest need, the guilt of our sin. No matter what our physical handicaps, our mental disturbances, our emotional breakdowns, his love will prevail. He will come again on the last day, and he wants us to be ready to meet him. And we are. We are ready to meet him because he is with us to protect us. We can have confidence that he is coming to deliver us. That's his promise. And he doesn't go back on his promises. So we can say, with some of the last words of the Bible, Revelation 22, verse 20. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. Amen. Now, the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus to everlasting life.